You're listening to the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of 1 Chronicles. Now, here's Pastor Sandy as he teaches through the book of 1 Chronicles, chapters 1 through 10.
Ezra is writing to encourage a terribly defeated people. The Jews didn't need to be reminded of their failures. They had spent 70 years in exile for the punishment of their sin. Hey, Ezra's readers needed a pick-me-up. They needed to focus on the positive, not the negative. And I think this is true of any person who's truly repentant. You know, some pastors think it's their duty to constantly remind people of how sinful and how sorry they are. I don't know about you, but I know how sinful and how sorry I am. So often I need encouragement to get my eyes off my failures and to focus my eyes on what Jesus has done for me. We need to see ourselves in Christ. Reminds me of Tommy and Sally. They had visited Grandma and Grandpa's house. And they were walking around the barnyard one afternoon when Tommy decided to try out his slingshot. So he got that slingshot whipping above his head and he let that rock fly, and accidentally that rock struck Grandma's favorite goose, got his goose. The goose fell over dead, and Tommy, oh my, he was so upset. He wanted to try to keep it a secret, and so in a panic, he grabbed the goose and he stuck it in the woodpile, tried to cover up the whole thing. The only problem, though, is that Sally saw what had happened. That night after dinner, Grandma said, "Sally, let's wash the dishes." And that's when Sally sort of turned to Tommy and whispered, "Remember that goose?" She turned to Grandma and she said, "Grandma, tonight Tommy would like to do the dishes with you." Tommy said, "Yes, Grandma, I'd like to do the dishes." And so Tommy did the dishes. Well, later that night, Grandpa decided to go fishing. He said, "Tommy, why don't you come along?" Sally leaned over and said, "Remember that goose?" Tommy said, "Well, Grandpa, I'm sort of tired tonight. Why don't you take Sally with you?" And so Sally went fishing. Well, Tommy couldn't stand this. One night of this was enough. He couldn't stand living like this. And so the next morning, he went to Grandma and he confessed to his dastardly deed. That's when his grandma said, "Sweetheart, I was looking through the window when you killed that goose. And because I love you, I've already forgiven you. I was just waiting to see how long you'd let Sally make you her slave." This is the question God is asking some of us tonight. He loves us so much, and he's already forgiven us. He's just hoping that we'll wise up and stop letting the devil make us his slave. It's time for us to accept God's forgiveness and trust in God's forgiveness and believe we're forgiven because Jesus said so. Well, here's the good news I get out of this genealogy. The heir to David's throne, King Solomon, God's chosen successor, he was born to this adulterous Bathsheba. It was God's way of redeeming David's slide, his sinful slide. Yes, God hated their sin that night. And yes, it was costly to David. In fact, the son that was conceived on that adulterous night died shortly after his birth. But the glorious truth about God's forgiveness is that it lets us pick up at the point of our repentance and start over. And this is what Ezra is trying to stress to these post-exiled Jews, that you can start over after a Bathsheba or even after a Babylon. As a matter of fact, you can start over after anything that you repent of and that you confess. Never forget that our God is the God of another chance. Well, the latter half of chapter 3 is strategic because it traces the descendants of David through the sons of a man named Zerubbabel. You see his name in verse 19. This was the leader of the Jews who returned to Judah from Babylon. And here Ezra makes a vital link between the descendants of David before the exile and the Jews who returned after the exile. In other words, the 70 years that Judah had spent in Babylon had not interfered with the lineage of David and with God's promises to him. Chapters 4 through 7 list the genealogy of Israel's 12 tribes. And it starts with Judah. Let's pick it up in chapter 4, verse 5. Chapter 4, verse 5. Asher, the father of Tekoa, had two wives, Helah and Naara. Naara bore him Azuzam, Hefer, Tamini, and Hashatari. Sounds like a video game. These were the sons of Naara. The sons of Helah was Zereth, Zohar, and Ethnan, and Kaz. Kaz, who was somebody's cuz, begat Anub, Zobibah, and the families of Aharhel, the son of Haram. And then verse 9. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Now, I love this. Ezra is listing hundreds of personal names. And there are people behind these names. Real lives, families, jobs, hobbies, careers. There are people behind these names. And he's listing these hundreds of names, name after name after name. And he chooses to give one man special mention. And for what reason? What great deed did Jabez do to get singled out from the crowd? Catch this. He prayed. That's all he did. That's why he got special mention. He bothered to pray. Jabez never built a temple, never killed a giant, never worked a miracle, but he gets extra ink in Scripture. He gets a special mention in the Word of God for no other reason than he prayed. We're told that Jabez called on the God of Israel. Hey, apparently the deeds of all of his brothers combined weren't nearly as noteworthy in God's eyes as the content of this man's prayer. Let me encourage you. Just take the time to pray. Well, this name Jabez, it means he causes pain. Maybe his mom had an extremely tough time in the labor and delivery. And when the doc asked, hey, what's his name? She thought he said, how's the pain? And she said, Jabez. Oh, he causes pain. One of my favorite songs is by Johnny Cash. It's entitled, A Boy Named Sue. You remember the song? Some gal would giggle and I'd get red, and some guy would laugh and I'd bust his head. I tell you, life ain't easy for a boy named Sue. And I, of all people, can relate, because it ain't much better for a boy named Sandy. However, Jabez got his unusual name. He did, after he got his unusual name, he did all he could to live it down. Notice that. His prayer reflected a desire to be a blessing to folks rather than a source of pain. You know, there are a lot of people that they have a handicap. They have a disability of some sort. Maybe it's your name. Maybe it's some other disability. But you can become bitter about it. You can use it as a crutch. Or you can take the opposite attitude. You can say, I'm going to do all I can to be a blessing, not a pain. I'm going to do all I can to live down this disability and rise above it and be all that I can be and all that I was meant to be. This was Jabez's attitude. Verse 10 tells us how he prayed. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. In other words, Lord, bless me a bunch. Mercy drops round me are falling, but oh, for the showers I plead. Ever sung that song? Did you know that you could ask God to bless you? I talked to a guy today at lunch. He told me he was in the habit of praying for other people, but he didn't like much asking God to bless him. Hey, I think you need to ask God to bless you. I think you can't really be a blessing to others until you've received God's blessing in your own life. I think Jabez understood that. And so he prayed, Lord, bless me a bunch. Bless me indeed. Pour out your blessing on me, Lord. I need your blessing in my life. He also prays, enlarge my territory. Jabez wanted his life to count for God in the greatest way possible. And so he asked God for more influence, more responsibility. Enlarge my territory that I can make a bigger impact for you and that your hand would be with me. Jabez understood that he wouldn't go far on his own resources, that he was limited by his own capabilities, and thus he prays for God's strong hand to be upon him, and that you would keep me from evil. In other words, Lord, protect me, and protect me from myself. How often I pray that prayer. Lord, protect me from my own weaknesses. Don't let me succumb, Lord, to the evil around me in my attempts to do good. Lord, protect me, keep me from evil. Here's what Jabez prays. He says, Lord, bless me a bunch. Expand my borders. Fill me with your spiritual power. Protect me from evil, that I may not cause pain. And notice what Ezra says. So God granted him what he requested. Now here's a prayer you can pray, and you can be assured that God will answer it because he's answered it before. You can pray the prayer of Jabez, and God will answer it for you just as he answered it for Jabez. It's a wonderful line. So God granted him what he had requested. Well, verse 11 picks back up with the brothers of Judah and Jabez. Chelub, the brother of Juhah, begot Mehir, who was the father of Eshdan. And on it goes. Here's a trivia question. What verse in the Bible contains every letter of the alphabet except the letter X? What verse in the Bible contains every letter of the alphabet except the letter X? The answer? 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. And I'm going to lose you for the next few minutes while you check it out for yourself, so we'll just do it all together. You ready? I'm going to go through the letters of the alphabet, and when I hit a letter, you just throw up your hand if you see it in the verse. Ready? A, B, C, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W. See a W? Yeah, it's in there. W, Y, and Z. Jabez, Z. Got it? There's no X. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. You're going to be a hit at the next trivia night. I'm telling you. You got some ammo. Look at verse 22. Also, Joachim, the men of Chozeba, and Joash, Zeraph, who ruled in Moab, and Shushabilahim, now the records are ancient. Isn't that interesting? The records are ancient. 1 Chronicles became the National Archives. There's a picture of our National Archives. But 1 Chronicles, chapters 1 through 9, became the National Archives of the nation Israel. As we go through these chapters, you know, we're just sort of picking and gleaning and finding nuggets here and there. But understand, Ezra provided Israel a vital service here by documenting these genealogies. These were extremely important to the Hebrews. Verse 24 begins the genealogy of the sons of Simeon. Chapter 5 contains the genealogies of the three tribes that took their inheritance east of the Jordan River. Verses 1 through 10, the tribe of Reuben. Verses 11 through 22, the tribe of Gad. in verses 23 through 26, half the tribe of Manasseh. Now look at what's said of the 2.5 tribes that settled east of the Jordan. The sons of Reuben, the Gadites, and the half the tribe of Manasseh had 44,760 valiant men. Men able to bear shield and sword, to shoot with the bow, and skillful in war, who went to war. They made war with the Hagrites, the Jetur, Naphish, and Nodab. And they were helped against them, and the Hagrites were delivered into their hand, and all who were with them, for they cried out to God in the battle. He heeded their prayer, because they put their trust in Him. Then they took away their livestock, 50,000 of their camels, 250,000 of their sheep, and 2,000 of their donkeys, also 100,000 of their men, for many fell dead because the war was God's. Now notice that. Many fell dead because the war was God's, and they dwelt in their place until the captivity. Now, if you're a pacifist tonight, that might cause you to squirm. Many fell dead because the war was God's. And here to me is evidence for what we call righteous war. There are some military campaigns that are not only necessary, they are within the will of God. In fact, they are ordained by God. There are battles, there are wars where men fall dead that God wants fought. I don't know how you work that into your thinking, how you work that into your philosophy, but that's scriptural, that's biblical. Notice again, this war was God's. Well, the rest of 1 Chronicles 5 describes how that the tribes east of the Jordan fell into idolatry and were destroyed by the Assyrians, by Tiglath-Pileser and his marauding bands. Chapter 6 begins, the sons of Levi were Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. These were the three divisions of priests that made up the tribe of Levi. And just for your review, do you remember each of these priestly families' responsibilities? There were three F's. Oh my. Yeah, well, you're getting there. The Kohathites, they carried the tabernacle furniture, right? The Ark of the Covenant, the table of incense, table of showbread, and so forth. The Gershonites, they carried the fabric of the tabernacle. And then the Merariites, they carried the frame, the poles, the sockets, and the boards, and so forth, of the tabernacle. So the Kohathites carried the tabernacle furniture. Gershon carried the tabernacle fabrics. Merari carried the tabernacle frame. When you get to heaven, there will be a quiz. Verse 31 begins with an interesting genealogy. Now these are the men whom David appointed over the service of song in the house of the Lord after the ark came to rest. They were ministering with music before the dwelling place of the tabernacle of meeting, until Solomon had built the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, and they served in their office according to their order. And these are the sons who ministered with their sons. Of the sons of the Kohathites, Heman the singer was the first one. Then drop down to verse 39. And his brother Asaph, who stood at his right hand. And then move down to verse 44. Their brethren, the sons of Merari, on the left hand, were Ethan. Now, these verses record the genealogy of the three priestly divisions established by David to do music in the house of God. The sons of Heman. And by the way, you can read one of Heman's songs. Psalm 88 was written by Heman. The sons of Asaph. And Asaph, you can read several of his songs. He wrote 12 of the 150 Hebrew Psalms. And then the sons of Ethan, who was responsible for authoring Psalm 89. And you know, what a great job to get. These guys were paid just to hang out in the temple and just fill the place with praise. Anybody want that job? We all do. Hey, David knew the priority of praise and of worship. He knew that God inhabits the praises of his people. Thus, David filled the tabernacle. He filled the temple daily with praise and with worship. Verse 49. But Aaron and his sons offered sacrifices on the altar of burnt offering and on the altar of incense for all the work of the most holy place and to make atonement for Israel according to all that Moses, the servant of God, had commanded. Aaron was Israel's first high priest. His sons would succeed him. Now these are the sons of Aaron, Eleazar his son, Phinehas his son, Abishua his son, Bukai his son, Uzi his son, he carried a machine gun by the way, Zerahiah his son, Merioth his son, Amariah his son, Ahitub his son, Zadok his son, and Ahimaaz his son. There were 12 high priests from the Exodus to the exile, 12 high priests over a period of 900 years. Now, chapter 6 ends with a list of 48 Levitical cities. You remember, the Levites were the one tribe that were not given a territory. The Lord, not the land, was to be their inheritance. They didn't have a parcel. They had a person who they were to be connected to and in love with. They were to be in love with the Lord. And so the Levites, not having a tribal territory of their own, they were given certain cities to live in, scattered throughout the other 12 tribes, 48 of these Levitical cities. Notice 1 Chronicles chapter 6. Notice 1 Chronicles chapter 6. Notice how many verses it has. It has 81 verses. Just for fun, can you name for me the two other chapters in the Bible that have more verses than 81? Can you name one? Psalm 119, that's easy. How many verses does it have? 176 verses. You guys are so smart. Can you tell me the other chapter of the Bible that has more verses than 1 Chronicles chapter 6? 1 Chronicles 6 has 81 verses. Can you name me the other chapter that has more verses than 1 Chronicles 6? Numbers chapter 7 has 89 verses. And so, again, you'll be a big hit at the next trivia night. You got the top three chapters with the most verses. Chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, lists the genealogy of Issachar. Verses 6 through 12, the tribe of Benjamin. Verse 13, the tribe of Naphtali. Verses 14 through 19, the half-tribe of Manasseh that settled on the west bank of the Jordan. Verses 20 through 29, the tribe of Ephraim. And notice verse 27 mentions one of the sons of Ephraim, a man by the name of Joshua, the other faithful spy along with Caleb. Verses 30 through 40 list the final tribe, the sons of Asher. And the two tribes whose genealogies are missing for some reason are Zebulun and Dan. And I'll let you try to figure out why those two tribes are missing their genealogies here. Chapter 8 is a more exhaustive listing of the genealogy of the tribe of Benjamin. King Saul, remember, was Israel's first king. He was a Benjamite. And so chapter 8 is really Saul's genealogy. Saul's father, Kish, had four, and his four sons. Saul's father was Kish, and then Saul had four sons, Jonathan, Malchishua, Abinadab, and Ithbal. They're mentioned in verse 33. Now this Ithbal goes by another name. Anybody know? Ishbosheth. It was the other name. And you'll recall that after Saul died, Ishbosheth ruled over the northern 10 tribes for a brief period of time until David finally took over and consolidated the kingdom. But this Ithbal was also Ishbosheth.
Being on the go is something we're all accustomed to in this culture. The hustle and bustle of life seems to make the days just fly by. For most of us, our smartphones are sort of an extension of our bodies. constantly ringing and dinging, telling us where to be and what the next appointment is. The technology that we enjoy in this day and age is amazing. And while there's certainly no end to the bad things we can find online and through our smartphones, there's also some great kingdom-minded options. We'd like to invite you to download the Sandy Adams mobile app. Our mobile app is available for iPhone, Android, and Windows smartphones. Or log on to sandyadams.org and simply click on the link from the main menu. When you download the app, you'll be able to listen to the most recent messages taught by Pastor Sandy, browse the series archive, and search the archive alphabetically. Finally, when you download the mobile app, you'll also have the opportunity to join us live for our Sunday morning worship service right from your smartphone. Again, to download the Sandy Adams mobile app, simply enter Sandy Adams in the search options of your smartphone's app store, or log on to sandyadams.org and simply click on the mobile app option right on the homepage. And please join us again as Pastor Sandy continues teaching through the Bible right here on Sandy Adams Radio.